A Christian is a citizen of two kingdoms. By birth or by naturalization, one is a citizen of a particular nation or community in this world. We ourselves are citizens of the United States of America, of the state of Wyoming, of Laramie County, of the city of Cheyenne. As citizens living in these communities, we have particular authorities over us and are subject to particular laws. Authorities and laws that are not over our neighbors in our neighboring states and countries. We see that, as in so many realms, God deals in specifics. We are not generic citizens of the world. We are not citizens in the abstract or theoretical sense, but rather of a particular place at a particular time, under particular rulers and particular laws. But there is another kingdom of which we Christians are citizens, a kingdom that is not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, writes the Apostle Paul in our epistle today, and we gain this citizenship when we are born from above in the waters of holy baptism. In this kingdom, we have but one king, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are indeed subject to this law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, there is yet another word that governs this kingdom. For in this kingdom, we live under the gospel. The good news that all our sins are forgiven entirely apart from any good works of ours, but only on account of the death and resurrection of our King, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this realm also, God deals in specifics. Again, we are not called to be generic or abstract members of the church, but rather members of the body of Christ gathered around his word and sacraments in a particular place, at a particular time, with other particular people. That is the congregation. And so in our case, our Savior Lutheran Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming. There should be no contradiction between these two citizenships. The relationship between God and Caesar is not like that between God and mammon. About that relation, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But notice that Jesus does not say the same thing about God and Caesar in our gospel today. He does not say that it is serving two masters to render to Caesar and to render to God. He does not say that we cannot render to both. And this is instructive for us Christians, particularly as we consider how to live as citizens in a changing nation. We must remember that according to our Lord Jesus Christ, behind the authority of the state is and remains God's authority. And thus the Lord Jesus declared to Pontius Pilate, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." Likewise, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 13, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." And the Apostle Peter writes in chapter 2 of his first epistle, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." And of course, these were all written or spoken at a time when the rulership of the Roman Empire was in the hands of godless pagans. Whether it be Pontius Pilate or Caesar, ultimately God rules. God remains the ultimate authority in the world. And therefore, we cannot set civil government in opposition to God. Nor should we even really consider it separate from God. Rather, it is a gift of God. And in fact, it's listed among the things for which we should pray and give thanks according to our Lord Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition. When we have good government, we should praise God and give thanks to Him. And likewise, so far as we are able and have the authority to do so, we Christians should promote good government. As citizens of two kingdoms, we have multiple opportunities to do just that, to promote good government. In this realm, according to our Lutheran confessions, it is right for Christians to hold political office, to serve as judges, to judge matters by imperial laws and other existing laws, to impose just punishments, to engage in just wars, to serve as soldiers, to make legal contracts, to hold property, to take oaths when required by the magistrates, for a man to marry a wife or a woman to be given in marriage. And to this, we would add, as Americans, that it is right for us Christians to vote. Yes, it is good that we as Christians participate in the affairs of this earthly life, in the civil realm. Because God rules over this world through the natural powers He's given to us all. Yes, even despite sin's corruption. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson, it's by God-given wisdom that kings reign, that rulers decree what is just, that princes and nobles rule, and all who govern justly. God bestows His natural gifts on all mankind. Things that include intelligence, a sense of right and wrong, good order, love for home and family and neighbor, the ability to organize society and enact and enforce good laws. Now, all that's not to deny the truth that many, and yes, many rulers, have rejected these godly gifts for things like foolishness, stupidity, disorder, wickedness, anger, anarchy, and injustice. You need not turn on the TV or read the newspaper to find that out. Nevertheless, as the old saying goes, abuse does not destroy the use. Yes, governmental authority is often abused. It has been throughout the ages and will continue to do so until our Lord returns. But that does not mean that God cannot or will not use the government for His good purposes. And so, even among those who do not believe in God or in His word, God uses earthly government to curb the evil that would otherwise be done to one's body and life, possessions and reputation, and to promote the good of this life. So government, even pagan government, is thus one of the chief means by which God shows concern for our earthly bodily well-being. And so, again, as earthly citizens, Christians ought to support and promote good government insofar as we are able. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And as our Lord held up the coin bearing Caesar's image, yes, that includes taxes, to whom taxes are owed. Furthermore, as citizens of heaven, we have other, even greater ways of promoting good government, besides that which is available to all human beings, like voting or serving in public office. We Christians, we have the Word of God, and we have prayer. We are taught by God's word, and so in turn we teach our households to lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly lives, and dignified in every way. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. As we see riots, destruction, and violence fill our cities, seemingly more now than in times before, we ought to be reminded of the great treasure that we Christians have in the Word of God, which not only instructs us, but by the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to live peacefully in the love of God, in His worship and word, without causing disturbance or distraction. We also have the gift of prayer. God, through the Apostle Paul, urges that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, and especially for kings and all who are in high positions. And so we pray together and individually. We pray here in the divine service, and around our tables and at our bedsides, that God would grant wisdom to those who exercise authority over us, that they would govern us according to God's holy will, that peace and prosperity would prevail in our land. And these prayers are rendered to God. They are not rendered to Caesar, as if Caesar or the governing authorities were divinely capable of receiving or answering our prayers. Certainly not. No, we render our prayers and supplications and thanksgivings and intercessions to God alone. But we do render them for Caesar on his behalf. So with this example of prayer, we see that there is still a distinction to be made between the things that are of God and the things that are of Caesar. They are not contradictory, but on the other hand, they are not entirely identical. Yes, the things of Caesar that we are to render to Caesar are ultimately God's things: respect, honor, obedience, etc. Furthermore, when we render to Caesar what is his, we are ultimately rendering to God what is his. Again, this is why both Paul and Peter urge us to be subject to the governing authorities for the Lord's sake. He is the one who instituted them. And as the fourth commandment teaches us, we fear and love God when we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but when we honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Yes, again, to render to Caesar what is Caesar's is finally to render to God what is God's. But, and this is extremely important, but the opposite is not true. Not all of the things that belong to God belong to Caesar. And not all of the things that should be rendered to God should be rendered to Caesar. Prayer, as I mentioned before, is of God, period. It should not be rendered to Caesar. We are commanded by the law to love our Lord God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We are not commanded to love Caesar in the same way. We are not commanded to render our trust and our faith in the government. We should not expect all good from our civil authorities. We should not take refuge in every distress in them. As the psalm says, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. This is what the Lord declares in Psalm 146. But when you think about it that way, it's rather foolish that anybody should look to Caesar for salvation. Earthborn they are and soon decay, we sang moments ago. But salvation endures. Salvation lasts for eternity, because salvation belongs to the Lord and the Lord alone. Salvation belongs to him who sits on the throne and reigns forever and ever. But this salvation our God has bestowed freely upon you. Not because you've given anything to God or done anything to deserve it, but purely because he is eternally good and gracious, because he is eternally love. And so his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, became true man, born of the Virgin Mary. And again, not a man in the abstract sense, but a particular man, born in a particular locale, born as a particular citizen in this world, in Judea, born under Roman authority. And in his earthly life, lived as true man, our Lord Jesus found no conflict between rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And so Jesus did so. As he lived his 33 years on this earth, Jesus rendered unto Caesar perfectly, without sin, without neglect or mistake, even as he rendered to God perfectly, without sin, without neglect or mistake. Perfect man, our Lord Jesus, was obedient, even to the point of death on a cross. On the cross, he suffered both the wrath of Caesar and the wrath of God. So was the Roman soldiers who crucified him. But in doing so, he bore all your sins and offenses and transgressions against the Lord. And by his precious blood, he rendered to God the justice that was due him. The innocent died for the guilty, the sinless died for the sinful. Your debt is paid, your obligation is rendered. And that salvation that he won for you by his death on the cross, he renders to you now in his word and sacrament. Even here today, he renders to you a gift more precious than silver, a treasure more valuable than gold. He speaks his word of absolution to you through the pastor, and all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He gives you his true body and blood under the bread and wine by the hand of your pastor, and you are strengthened and preserved in your body and soul unto life everlasting. He has washed you with water combined with the triune God's name, and you have been clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sins. Through these means of grace, God has rendered to you what is his, eternal salvation, which no one, not even Caesar, can take away from you. Yes, we are reminded that God has given everything, even his dearest treasure, his son, his beloved son, in order to win salvation for us. And so for this salvation, we must be ready to set aside all things as well, like a man who finds a treasure in a field and sells all that he has in order to acquire it. And yes, perhaps that even means setting aside a good relationship with Caesar. That is not the highest good. For there may come a time, as there has been many times in the past, in which the government may directly force Christians to do that which is clearly contrary to the will of God, as found in Holy Scripture. Perhaps the government might even ask us or demand of us to render to Caesar the things that belong to God and to God alone. In the Roman era, authorities insisted that Christians do their part for the common good, that they contribute to the prosperity of the community by sacrificing to the gods, or by sacrificing to Caesar himself, or to participate in certain rites and rituals, or perhaps to forego those divinely instituted rites and rituals which our Lord Jesus Christ has given for our good. In these instances, when the governing authorities instituted by God set themselves against him, then we as citizens of heaven must declare with Peter and the other apostles, we must obey God rather than men. Again, when Caesar forbids us to do what God has commanded, or when Caesar commands us to do what God has forgiven, then the only proper thing for us to do is to render to God what is God's. That is total obedience and faith, even if it should cost us our very lives. In the end, however, the assumption is that we will obey our earthly authorities, unless we are given good biblical reason not to. Jesus is not skeptical. He doesn't assume the worst. He simply says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God's the things that are God's. As we are citizens of two kingdoms, Christ commands that we are to render obedience in both. As long as Caesar demands no more than God has given him authority to demand, the duty to render to Caesar and to God are not two separate duties, but just one. For again, while some things we render directly to God and God alone, other things we render to God through those authorities he has instituted. Again, if Jesus tells us to render to Caesar, we should do it. First and foremost, because Jesus says so. And he is and remains our Lord and Master. As for ultimately, God is above every other rule and authority and power and dominion. Every other earthly ruler, every Caesar, every president, every governor, pales in comparison to Christ. If for no other reason, then someday they will give up their office, at least in death. And likewise, all kingdoms and nations and dominions will fade away too. kingdoms, the citizenships of this world will not last. America, Wyoming, Cheyenne, they will not be forever. And so also your citizenship in this world, which does have temporal value, is temporary. But even as that citizenship will someday fade away, you have an eternal citizenship. You have one that will never end. That citizenship is in heaven, writes the Apostle Paul. And it is eternal like its Lord. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. But while we wait for that day, we continue to participate in God's good gift of government as citizens in this world. The elections of a few weeks ago are a good example of that. So are taxes, whether you like it or not. If nothing else, take hope, take heart. Those things are temporary. But your salvation, your Lord, your home in heaven is and ever shall be an everlasting gift given to you freely by your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loves you. In his name, amen. Please stand.